And reading this morning from the Gospel of John, a traditional reading on this Christ the King Sunday. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are a God who is ever present, and yet we acknowledge that so often we take you for granted. We take our faith for granted. Open us, O God, to the multitude of ways in which you reveal yourself to us and the ways in which you reveal yourself in the world, and encourage us always to follow. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We have this agreement in my family. That is not my birth family, but the Murray Lawson family, which includes my four sons and my ex-husband. We may have our disagreements, and we may sometimes get irritated with each other, although our expectation is, when that happens, that we will always strive to be open and honest with each other so as to work things out. But the golden rule in our family is that whatever issues we may have with each other, we will not allow an outside force to divide us. Now, that's daunting for any female partner that might choose one of my sons, of course, but so far, so good. The ones who have stayed with us are very respectful of our family allegiance. I sometimes make light of our family dynamics. My sisters and I joke about each other and our quirks. My ex-husband and I are pretty cognizant of our differences, but we all agree, whatever we might say about each other, we will defend our family to the end if anyone speaks ill of one of our tribe of six. That's the kind of loyalty I have seen surfacing lately within our United Church of Canada. Now, most of you know I have some rather liberal interpretations of Scripture, as I'm more fond of metaphor than of literal truth. Within my Christian family, that being all of you and my extended community of fellow believers, we have a safe place to air the different ways we understand our faith in God, in Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit. But let someone from outside of our safe little circle of faith go a little too far with that questioning, then our family back goes up, and we jump to defend what we cherish. So have you figured out where I'm going with this? I cannot believe I am going to speak the name of Greta Vosper again. As I had told myself, it was best I simply walk away from the ongoing upheaval in our United Church of Canada over this issue. But I feel it would be irresponsible of me not to say a few words about the settlement recently reached between Toronto Conference and Greta Vosper. Now, for those of you who have had the good fortune of being completely oblivious to this issue over the past 3 years, let me just quickly summarize it. Greta is a United Church minister who is a self-proclaimed atheist. It is not just that she doesn't believe in a traditional understanding of God. She doesn't believe in God. After 3 years of bouncing this issue around, she and Toronto Conference came to a settlement, and all we really know about the settlement that was reached is that she will maintain her status as a minister within the United Church of Canada. While a few are definitely rejoicing in this decision, I can tell you from interaction with many colleagues, there are many more of us who are saddened, disappointed, angered, and mystified by this. While we all respect the need for dialogue and inclusiveness among our parishioners, our constituents, we frankly believe that if we as ministers come to a point where we no longer in any way or form believe in a Trinitarian God, then it's probably time for us to go flip some burgers at McDonald's. Why then, you might wonder, have I come to the conclusion that Greta Vosper might actually be one of the best things that has happened to the United Church in years? That's because in a church where our most liberal members have even struggled to say the name of Jesus, now we have all been forced to defend the family, so to speak. We are now not only speaking the name of the one we follow, but we are openly wrestling with our understanding of who the person behind the name is and what he means to our church and to us as individual people of faith. It has simply been too easy for us for too long to coast along being the open-minded, inclusive church. The church where you sometimes might feel you have walked into the golf club or the community center because the level of Christology is sometimes so low. And finally, we're having a debate about who this person Jesus was, is, and what he means to us and what he means to our church and our world. So on this very appropriate Sunday, when we celebrate an image of Jesus as the one who rules over all, I invite you to make a decision about how you as individuals will handle your feelings about one United Church minister who somehow snuck through the cracks in our system. Will you allow that one person to color your perception of our church and its leadership and its way of handling such issues? Will you choose to focus on something you can't solve and that we may never completely understand? Or will you choose yourself to rise to the defense of the family when it is threatened? And will you choose to be even more deliberate about not only speaking the name of Jesus, but will you open the dialogue within yourself, within your family, friends, and the community at large about what it is you believe about this person who is central to our faith? I have come to some conclusions over the course of my ministry about what I believe and don't believe, or I think more accurately, I should say, I have allowed myself the freedom to question, to rethink some aspects of our traditional theology as a Christian church, but make no mistake, what I expect of myself as a minister of the Christian church and what I will continue to encourage in our membership is a healthy, honest, open, ongoing dialogue about God as revealed in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the perfectly balanced representation of humanity and divinity. And also the Holy Spirit, through whom our God is still active in the world today. So my suggestion is to all of you, take this opportunity to breathe deeply, to accept the fact that we may not always understand how and why decisions are made in our church. And I would ask you to please note that the decision was made by Toronto Conference, not by the National Church, and not by our moderator. And so I would invite you to choose to turn a passion which may show forth right now as anger into a burning passion to be an advocate for the love and grace of Jesus Christ in a world that so badly needs the peace and wholeness that His grace and love can offer. I belong, and I think most of us belong to the United Church, because we value the openness and the inclusive spirit fostered within it. We belong because we are not told by our leadership exactly what to believe, but we are encouraged to grow in what we believe and to deepen what we believe. We belong because we live in a changing world and we remain always open to the ways in which we must stretch and expand our understanding of God and of God's Word to allow us to live within that world while still being loyal to the grace of the one we follow. We belong to the United Church because we have seen what right-wing fundamentalist extremism can do to an already fragile world, and we want to offer another alternative. So I urge you to stand up for your church. Rise above the arguments that will do nothing but weaken our collective sense of self-esteem and further alienate us from our calling to follow Christ. As we move quickly toward the season of Advent, when we officially turn our hearts and minds toward the birth of Jesus and what it means to be his faithful follower, I hope that you will open that conversation within yourself, with your family, with other church members, with your friends, about who Jesus is for you. what he means in your life. Mighty ruler, gentle shepherd, faithful friend, precious Savior, the possibilities are endless. People have called him by many names, but as he once said to someone who tried to get the absolute answer from him, "Who do you say that I am?" Let that question be your focus in the weeks to come as we collectively await the celebration of his birth, so that when we gather here on the 24th, we will come with hearts burning, but not burning with anger and bitterness, but with love and grace for the one we follow and for his people. Thanks be to God.